You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. That's the 41-year vet, Tim May. That's Andy Backstrom. I'm Spencer Holbrook. We know what week it is. It is spring game week. It is the official blooming of spring. The azaleas are blooming. There's a lot on TV this week, including the Ohio State spring game on Fox. Tim, we just talked to Ryan Day, Carlos Lachlan, a.k.a. Coach Lock. Don't call him Carlos. New running backs coach at Ohio State, and we talked a lot about Julian Sain. There's so much to get to.
Yeah.
We're going to throw it to the 41-year vet first and get his reaction. What'd you hear, Tim? What'd you learn?
Well, first of all, I appreciated your hello friends thing, which got me right into the Masters mood.
Absolutely.
And your references. And the good thing is this Ohio State spring game is on at noon to 2, and the Masters, of course, you know, doesn't come on to what, 3 or 3:30?
Oh, we'll talk about it a little later.
I mean, unbelievable. Time. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Stuck in the mud in that regard, but I digress, of course. Hey, the number one thing I was interested in today, and I'm gonna write a little bit about it, is just there are some things that are undeniable. You know, when you watched the eclipse the other day, when all of a sudden the corona showed up, and you could take your shades off and see the corona and go, wow, that sounds like what's happened in regards to Julian Sain. Ryan Day talked about him. He didn't gush on him like he has gushed on Jeremiah Smith, another freshman who has lost his black stripe. But it sounds like Julian Sain is in the mix. Now, in the mix means he's going to get reps. He's going to get a big look about being in the top three. And we know what being in the top three at Ohio State's about, especially when you're chasing a championship. There's a good chance you're going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew Lincoln Kinos was going to play in the Cotton Bowl, right?
Yeah.
But the bottom line is Julian Sain, we were standing 10 feet from him, 15 feet from him the other day on MAD, Media Appreciation Day, when he was just firing. And I'm just going, I'd seen him throw in warm-ups and things before some other practices, but I had not watched it live like that. And for the most part, he's putting the ball on the money, sometimes surprising the receivers. But it looks like Julian Sain is in the mix. That doesn't mean he's going to be the starter. Doesn't mean he's going to beat out Will Howard or Devin Brown, but he is in the mix.
Yep.
And that's huge. A freshman quarterback in the mix, 12 practices into spring football.
Yeah, we'll start there because that's the headline here. Other than we'll get to some offensive line stuff, and obviously Carlos Lachlan, the new running backs coach, kind of stole the show there at the end.
Yeah,
but Andy,
definitely.
Like Tim said, it's undeniable. Like the buzz surrounding Julian Sain, I tweeted, and it's getting some reaction on Twitter. I'm sure you've got something out there too, and we'll have some stories. Of course, like Tim said, Ryan Day is talking about him the way that we do not hear Ryan Day talk about freshman quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud, Justin Fields wasn't a freshman when he got here. Kyle McCord, he just doesn't really praise freshman quarterbacks the way he's praising Julian Sain right now, and it is notable.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys usually lose their black stripe in October or August or September maybe. To have it happen in April, transferring in as an early enrollee from Alabama, clearly making an impact in such a crowded quarterback room. And Chip Kelly's really rolling these guys. We've seen that in practice when we've been here, and it's been happening in every other practice, apparently, according to Ryan Day. So he's getting time with the ones, and he's not afraid. He doesn't want his hand held. That was kind of the phrase that Ryan Day said. And he is just, you know, zipping it. Gunslinger, I think, was the words that C.J. Burnett used in the black stripe.
After I used it.
Of course.
Hey, there's a lot of copycat stuff going on.
I know. Just saying, right?
Yeah, just saying.
So, yes, but it's undeniable. He did give updates on the other quarterbacks. Will Howard, he said the experience continues to show. He's a guy that's in the building early, leaving the building late. Everyone sees that. He's earned the respect that way.
How do we know he doesn't just have a cot back there and he's sleeping?
I'm sure a lot of these guys do.
Go ahead.
The dual threat ability of Will Howard seems to be the big focus. The fact that he can run not only to, you know, as a design quarterback run, but also to extend plays with his feet. Ryan Day said that stresses the defense, and that's what they really like right now in spring. As far as Devin Brown is concerned, he's still flashing that talent we've talked about for a couple of years now. Consistency still seems to be the topic when talking about Devin Brown, if he can get to that next step. So he needs to be more consistent.
We know he can run. So.
But he does have that comfortability in the offense, being in the system for a third year, and that stood out. So those three guys, it seems like, are the top three right now. I mean, Lincoln Keenholz is certainly progressing, and we saw some of that on Student Appreciation Day. But the way it was talked about today, you get the feeling that you got saying, you've got Will Howard, you got Devin Brown in no particular order.
Yeah, and Lincoln Keenholz, you know, lost his black stripe in September last year. He had only shown up in June, so he lost his black stripe pretty quickly too.
Yeah,
and you know, in relation to Julian saying, but that was almost an emergency kind of situation at quarterback last year. This year they've got five guys in there, and it looks like the top three, right?
Yeah,
is what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you start to wonder, and you don't want to put anybody in these positions, you don't want to speculate a lot, but how long until there's five guys in the room still?
Well, yeah.
Just because of the way that this thing is starting to progress, with the competition looking like it's shaking out, those guys looking like they're the top three. It's an interesting time right now in this building, and Ryan Day didn't want to get into anything with the transfer portal, really. My big takeaway, and finally get to it, is the offensive line, the right side. I asked Ryan Day if he felt good with Josh Fryer at right tackle, and he said, I feel good with Josh Fryer, and kind of just stopped there. Josh Fryer's working at right guard. Josh Fryer's working at right tackle. In my opinion, Josh Fryer could play right start at right tackle. If that's the case, Ohio State's going to look at all options, including the transfer portal at right guard. If Josh Fryer is better at right guard, then Ohio State will look at all options, including the transfer portal at right tackle. I think this is either Fryer plays tackle and they find a guard either on the roster or in the portal, or Fryer plays guard and they find a tackle either on the roster or in the portal. Josh Fryer is going to be part of this.
So does that mean Luke Montgomery's off?
No.
Off the hot take item? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I was trying to read into that, too. I mean, what exactly does all that mean? I mean,
I
think Luke Montgomery, I understand, has made good progress this spring. I think Saturday's going to be a time when we can watch,
you know,
for sure. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You know, I just wanted you to get some context to people about a guy we've been talking about a lot, and now what are we talking about?
Well, Ryan Day has said repeatedly that everything you put into Luke Montgomery, you will get out. And I think they still will get that out of him. Does that mean that he's completely ready in year two to start on the Ohio State offensive line? I don't know. So, you know, last year they talked a lot about Carson Hinsman, and maybe he wasn't physically ready in year two. Well, that's exactly where Luke Montgomery is right now. Is he ready in year two? I don't know. But the way Ryan Day talked about it, Andy, it seems like Josh Fryer is going to be a starting offensive lineman. He talked glowingly about Josh's offseason. It's just, is he the second Josh that bookends the line with the tackles, or is he a guard that helps the interior of the offensive line? Either way, I think Ohio State will be in good hands. I just think Josh Fryer is part of the mix. He will be on this offensive line.
Well, it sounds like they're really impressed with the tackles in general, both Josh Fryer and Josh Simmons. They said that Josh Simmons is just more consistent with his blocking, just a more experience, a greater understanding of the offense. He came in really late last year, right? And he immediately started. And I think that's showing that he has experience now. Mm-hmm. Josh Fryer, they said he's really changed his body. He's slimmed down, he's quicker on his feet, and that's showing up too. So they really like what they're both doing at tackle. It is interesting though, you know, last time we had talked to these guys and Justin Fry and the centers, they had only repped at center. Mm-hmm. And that was not too long ago. And now Carson Hinsman and Seth McLaughlin have both been tried at right guard. And that's a new wrinkle as well. So it's not that Luke Montgomery can't be the guy at right guard, but it seems that they're opening up the ideas to trying different things in the last week plus.
Yeah, and he's got a way with words.
Yeah, he does. But what's interesting is, you know, we talked about this when Seth McLaughlin first showed up, you know, from Alabama. I mean, he started for the last 2 years at Alabama? On a team that played for, you know, college football playoff semifinals last year. He was a center.
Yeah.
And I think he's legit is what I'm trying to say. Not just a guy that was obviously he had the poor snaps, you know, that plagued him against Michigan in the college football playoff semifinal. But the bottom line is this guy's played at a high quality football for the last 2 years. This isn't some guy that's a second string guy who's just trying to find his way from Alabama into a playing spot. So that's equity. I mean, he brought equity to the table and stuff. And you got to figure, if they think two of their best linemen are Carson Hensman and Seth McLaughlin, one of those guys is going to end up at right guard. I'm talking about in the present day setting. We, you know, truly knows what you're thinking, but it would be folly for Seth McLaughlin to be standing on that first play from scrimmage one way or the other. That's, I'm talking about in September or late August.
It was interesting because the chatter surrounding Tegra Shavola, quieter today, not as much talk about him. Randy, to his credit, wasn't asked about him. But, you know, when you're talking about that right side, it had been Josh Fryer, Tegra Shavola, Luke Montgomery. Now it seems like it's the two centers. It's Luke Montgomery, it's Josh Fryer, and they're kind of working through those issues right now. Not really issues, but those scenarios, I guess, if you will, to find the best five. They'll be blocking for a unit that has to be one of the, considered the best in the country. With Quinshon Judkins, with Trayvon Henderson, without Dallin Hayden, it's very apparent. Randy said he didn't want to talk about it till next week. Sources confirmed to On3's Pete Nakos. We've heard some rumblings like Dallin Hayden is going to be entering the transfer portal. He's not going to be with this roster following the spring game. You know, it didn't get answered today, but I'd be stunned if he was even with the roster right now. So. Carlos Lachlan takes over the room. Tim, what did you think of your first impression of Coach Lock?
Well, first of all, he knows where Demopolis, Alabama is,
huge.
Where I was born. Because
that's huge.
I answered the trivia quiz. What high school did a Super Bowl MVP come from? And I immediately said Bart Starr because I was told the first two Super Bowls. And so he's from my neck of the woods, so to speak. From an original standpoint, but like me, he's moved around a little bit. Although I haven't moved around much since I moved to Ohio, as in none. But the bottom line is, this is a guy who is different.
I mean, yes.
He's got an intensity about him. I call it a policeman's intensity, a cop's intensity about him.
Wonder where
him.
He got that.
Because he was a cop.
Thank you.
Before he got into coaching and pursued his passion. Mm-hmm. Which is what he laid out for us there. And, you know, the whole soft patch cookies things, I'm still not clear on exactly the analogy he's using there. I'm clear on it, but, you know, my point is he's not just a cute saying soft patch cookies. He wants to get rid of soft patch cookies. Stands out to me is he has played the position. He knows what's demanded of that position, but the main thing he demands is everybody, all for one, one for all, kind of approach to the running back. No divas allowed. And I don't know about you guys. I've looked at Trayvon Henderson as a special player. I've never considered him a diva.
No.
I look at Quinshon Judkins. Every interaction we've had with him here, and you watch him play, he literally did what he was asked to do at Ole Miss, which is, hey, run the ball again. I think those two guys are going to thrive under Carlos Lachlan just because of his intense approach and the fact that it looks like he still works out.
Yeah, that's the best thing that I heard today is he said that, you know, if you're intimidating, people won't do certain things in front of you. That's why he looks the way he does, and he said he's going to look as good as his players. Yeah. And then he gave the smile of the day.
Yeah.
And now, Andy, he also talked about running back is the worst coach position on the field. He wants to not revolutionize it, but he wants to change it. He wants to make sure that he is – the best running backs coach, because running backs are poorly coached, and there are some good coaches out there, but he's not a bad coach. He coaches the position properly, and he wants everybody to coach the position properly. Thought that was interesting. Brought up his time at Memphis, brought up his time at Oregon, and used those as kind of catapults to get here. What was your big takeaway from what he had to say?
Yeah, he said, I am not a recruiter. He said, I am an elite relationship builder.
Yeah, who said that before? Brian Hartline. Go ahead, then.
There you go. Not a recruiter, an elite relationship builder, and a ball coach. And he said he just loves coaching running backs. Even when he wasn't officially a running backs coach, he always acted as if he was one. Not stepping on toes per se, but looking at the game from that angle. And he said when he was at Memphis, there was really four or five guys that were NFL caliber. Antonio Gibson, Darrell Henderson.
Tony Pollard.
Just the list goes on. And so when he was asked about how do you manage Quinshon Judkins and Trayvon Henderson, he's like, this is not my first rodeo. I've been around a lot of talent before. He was just at Oregon, which doesn't have the big names in the running back backfield the last couple of years and maybe in years prior, but he's been at a big program before and he knows how things work. And like you guys talked about, that story is captivating. Brian Day mentioned that. That's how he kind of stood out in the interview process. And they really want someone that can develop these guys, not just recruit these guys. And that is his focus, Coach Locke's focus as a running backs coach.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. If you wanted a guy who was going to win the press conference, you got him. If you wanted a guy who's going to just coach running backs and be a ball coach, you got him.
Yeah.
Is he going to pitch his pitch? And if you like it, you'll join him from the recruiting trail? You got it. Like, I'm very impressed. Well, obviously, the press conference isn't everything. Yeah. But Mike Norvell liked what he saw. Took him to Florida State from Memphis. Dan Lanning liked what he saw. Took him from Western Kentucky to Oregon.
Yeah.
Ryan Day likes what he sees. Chip Kelly likes what he sees. Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins like what they see. So I have no reason not to like what I see. He was impressive today, and I'll give him some kudos for that.
You know, it's really funny because I asked him, you know, about when you got that text from Ryan Day, as he talked about earlier in the press conference. Did your wife say, we're moving again? You know what I mean? Yeah. Because they moved a lot. And like he said, he grew up with a military family. They moved a lot when he was in the military, you know, growing up and stuff. His wife hasn't a lot, but obviously he's gotten used to it. But the interesting thing was, you know, like he said, now he's working for this, meaning the Ohio State brand, the Ohio State logo. But he said the most important thing that gets him in anybody's door is what he's got right here, which was a cross hanging up around his neck. You know, that's the team he's ultimately working for, which was an interesting point in all kinds of ways, but it just shows you he just wants to do the job.
Yeah.
And he's been called here for a purpose, and it sounds like, even though no one has defined it, a little more, for want of another term, focus, discipline, get up and go, whatever it is they want from that running back coaching position. That's what Ryan Day was looking for, and this guy fits the bill. Tony Alford was here for a long time, but clearly he and Ryan Day separated, you know. And Ryan has gushed about this guy since I think he first laid eyes on him in the resume aspect of things, and has never shied away from it. He likes what he brings to the table.
Yeah, the judges at the Arnold Sports Classic would also fall in love with Carlos Lachlan the way that he stood up there.
Getting to pose in front of that Arnold statue out there downtown.
Yeah, he could scare me. Anything else before we get out of here, Andy?
Yeah, I thought a big takeaway for me was just the way that Ryan Day talked about quarterback position in general. Like, they talked about running the quarterbacks in recent years. It hasn't happened as much. Last year, Kyle McCord wasn't run much. Devin Brown, they tried to. Yeah. C.J. Stroud, of course, that was the big thing.
Why wasn't he running more?
But, look, it seems that now with Chip Kelly here as offensive coordinator, now with the way the game is going, the way the offense has kind of, you know, hit a little bit of a rough patch the last couple of years for Ohio State in big moments, they want to run the quarterback, and they want to do it often, so much so that they're not worried about the risk of whoever is in there getting hurt.
Yeah.
And they're trying to have 2 to 3 guys ready to go. And that's the same thing with Julian saying. Like, even if he's not winning this competition for week 1, he'll have to be ready to play at Oregon, ready to play at Penn State, ready to play all these games. And that could be the same thing for Devin Brown if he sticks around.
I've talked about it all spring. The quarterback is going to run in a Chip Kelly offense. What he is bringing to the Ohio State offense, that's one of the reasons Ryan Day went out and got him. Anybody can look around the country and see what that brings to the table. And I think Ryan was, you know, I'm not speaking for him. I think he was kind of frustrated a little bit the last 3 years, especially when there were things out there that could have either kept drives alive or enhanced things, but especially last year, and the quarterback opted not to run. You know, I mean, you want guys who are willing and able to run, and then, you know, and then maybe even call some stuff for him. Because anybody can see in the modern offense, even in the NFL, you've got to have that part and parcel to your offense and stuff. And it's interesting because Julian Sayin fits that bill. As much as you're impressed with his, you know, ridiculous release, and it is, it's ridiculous. Go watch his high school tapes, he will run. And you got to have that in your offense, and Chip Kelly's going to call those plays.
Andy, I think that it's an extension of just everything that Ryan Day's done this offseason. He's talking about quarterbacks. You've got to have 2 or 3 to play because you've got to be able to pick those yards. And if one of these guys gets hurt, the next guy's got to be ready. Well, guess what? He went out and got Quinshon Judkins because he knows he's going to need a couple running backs for 17 games. He went out and got Chip Kelly because he knows it's a do-or-die year for this offense and this program when it comes to not losing to Michigan again. He went and did things that you wouldn't probably normally see Ryan Day and Ohio State do in the first 5 years of his tenure. But guess what? You got to keep progressing forward, and the chips are all in the middle of the table right now.
So to speak.
And that means everything. It means hiring different people. It means bringing in a guy like Coach Locke. It means going out and getting Caleb Downs and Seth McLaughlin and Julian Sain, even though you already had four quarterbacks in the room, bringing another one. It even means running the quarterback, because that's the way that you need to play offense. And if he gets hurt, oh well, you tried, and now you've got a second one who's ready, and then you got a third one who's ready, and maybe a fourth or fifth one who's ready. Like, that was kind of a microcosm of the whole offseason to me with Ryan Day. It's like, you've got to have these guys ready, because we have to run, we have to pick up yards this way, and if the guys get hurt, oh well, like, the next guy will be ready. Like, am I reading too much into that? Or
No, it's fearless. Like, you can't be afraid.
Great, yes. Again, he's got a way with words, man. Like, I just said it in 2 minutes, and he's like, oh, it's fearless.
Whatever. I mean, Ryan Day pointed out, I mean, the schedule, he didn't say this. He didn't say this in so many words, but the schedule sets up, you know, for this team. That's what I'm going to write about. You got to play. He's going to play those. He's going to play three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Through the first several parts of the schedule, because it sets up to, why not? You know, that was our big beef with him the last several years, is why not play guys when you've got these kind of games? I mean, where you can get guys experience under center instead of them running in there like Lincoln Kienholz did against Missouri, and just Missouri's throwing the kitchen sink at them and they can't stop it. I mean, you've got to play guys, especially. You've got to be ready to play in November. You got to play in September. And that's why Julian Sain's going to play. Barring injury, it looks like Julian Sain's going to play early. How often? You know, that depends on, like Ryan Day reiterated again. The first object is to win the game. But then when you feel like you've got a hold of games, play your quarterbacks, not just one, because they play more than one running back.
Yeah.
You know, and they play more than one wide receiver, so why not play more than one quarterback? That's the only way they get experience. And that's going to happen, it sounds.
Yeah, it's fearless.
Well, we talked about this the other day on your show, Tim. It's just that, I mean, it's possible. We saw this with Trevor Lawrence, and that's obviously the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
That does not happen very often. Trevor Lawrence is one of the most highly decorated recruits all time in the college football kind of recruiting spectrum. But, look, it's possible with a season as long as potentially 16 or 17 games. It's really more than one season. You know, maybe Will Howard's the starter for the first season of this, so to speak. And then Julian Sain, or maybe Devin Brown, or someone else comes in if they overtake him, or they're not getting what they need in the first part of the schedule. So I do think there's more flexibility, and overall, like Ryan Day said, they're going to do what gives them the best chance to win games and win a championship. And if that's just someone that can win you 11 games but not win you a championship, he's going to make that change.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, I mean, you're running the show, but I'd like to, you know, call in with a question. You know, Tim from Hilliard. It's imperative, in my opinion, I think, for this football team to get really where it wants to go from a feel-good roster standpoint, that at the beginning of August, Will Howard, Devin Brown, and Julian Sain are still here.
Yes.
That's what I truly believe.
That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but that's what should happen.
But you understand what I'm saying. Monday's coming. Is it Monday?
Monday.
It's coming
Tuesday.
Awfully fast.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday, excuse me, the 16th, is coming awfully fast, meaning when the transfer portal opens. And I think they definitely want their top two guys, as we look at it right now, Will Howard, Devin Brown, who knows. But I think they want them around in September.
They do.
In the start of camp. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they play that. It didn't work with Dwayne Haskins Jr. and Joe Burrow way back in 2018.
They didn't even have a portal then.
Yeah.
Either. But they didn't have a portal then, but it still didn't work.
But Burrow still left, and he was able to play because he was a graduate.
Did he play? Where did he play?
He played at LSU.
Okay.
And by the way, I remind people, he did not have that stellar year in 18. He had it in 19. Yeah. When they were comparing to what Dwayne Haskins Jr. did, which was break all kinds of records in 18. But I digress. That's another conversation for another day.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, I think it's imperative for them to have those three guys on the rosters come August.
Yeah, we need a talk button here, because we're going to talk.
Do you agree with that?
I completely agree. I completely agree, and that's something that we're going to talk about on Monday, right before the portal opens. We do another one of these after we do another one of these on Saturday to break down the spring game. After we do another one on Friday to break down bold predictions, and that's why we don't have to stand here for.
I'm not doing nothing else.
That's why we don't have to be here for an hour and a half talking about this, because we do a video almost every day talking about this very subject. Tim May, the 41-year vet, Andy Backstrom, Spencer Holbrook, record scratch. Tim, who you got to win the Masters?
I tell you who I like, but I don't know if he's going to do it. I like John Rahm, I like John Rahm to repeat.
Okay, Andy.
I said it last year. I'm going to keep going with it. Jordan Spieth. It's going to happen one of these years.
All right, well, he'd get a second green jacket.
Again.
Let's see.
Could have. Well, he could have three by now, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could have five. He's been in contention on Sunday five times.
It's like the way John Rahm was hitting the ball in the range the other day, man. Just,
yeah.
I love his. I stood from here to Andy from him when he was teeing off in Las Vegas at that live event. I mean, that's just a different way of doing things, that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, you know what, to hell with it. I'm feeling good. It's 2024.
Graham Clark.
Finally time. Rory McIlroy is going to slip on the green jacket. I'm a believer. I saw him last week playing. He looked good. I buy in every year. I'm fooled every year. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And fool me for 15 years because it never happens.
The problem with Rory is he ought to be in live. You know why? Because he has three great rounds almost every tournament. But then he has that one round that kills him.
The reason I bring that up is because Neil Shipley, Ohio State golfer, and USAM runner-up, is competing at the Masters. He will tee off at 11:30 on Thursday. Yeah, he will tee off 11:30 on Thursday in the first round. Great experience for him. We've got full coverage of that at lettermanrow.com, where you can get all of our coverage, $1 for your first 2 months. $1 for your first 2 months when you use the promo code OSU1. That's right, OSU1 at lettermanrow.com. You get your first 2 months for just $1
at Letterman Row. That's cheaper than Peacock.
Tim May, the 41-year vet, Andy Bax from Spencer Holbrook, all of our coverage over there at lettermanrow.com. Come back Friday for bold predictions about the spring game, and then come back Saturday and we'll have spring game coverage from head to toe, from top to bottom. Andy Backstrom, Tim May, Spencer Holbrook, Matt Parker, and Alex Gleitman on the recruiting side. We'll see you guys over at lettermanrow.com.